Welcome to episode 42 of Classic Comics. Today we're going to finish up our conversation with Derek McNeil, and I'm dropping you in with a little bit of overlap. Derek and I were just discussing Judy Garrick's appearance and some of the continuity things that come with reintroducing for the first time a character that's not been around and how it affected everyone's memories. And Derek was talking about how it was similar to Wally West coming back at the beginning of Rebirth, and people wouldn't remember their time with him until he touched them or something along those lines. So that's where we're dropping in.
Yeah, it reminded me a fair bit of at the beginning of Rebirth, when Wally was brought back from having been removed from time.
Yeah.
As basically nobody remembered him until he'd encounter them and touch them or whatever, then they would remember him.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, Wally's had it tough, huh?
Yeah, that was sort of the disappointment with the Rebirth era, because at the very beginning, as Wally comes in as this big symbol of hope, everything's going back to normal, and then everything just goes south from there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I still struggle with we had to go through that, and it's just like I don't understand destroying characters like that. I mean, if you want to put them on the side and focus on a different character, that's fine, but it, you know, destroying a character like that doesn't do anything except anger fans of that character and almost guarantee they'll be brought back somehow, because you can't just toss away
There's rumors now that DC are going to permanently kill off 10 characters, and I'm thinking, yeah, permanently kill off characters. I've heard that before.
Is this permanent, like Barry Allen and Bucky Barnes and Superman as you know, and Batman?
The saying goes, nobody stays dead in comics except Barry Allen, Jason Todd, and Bucky.
Yeah, well, guess what? Yeah, I think okay, I know somebody who got retconned back into being dead, and that was Gwen Stacy. She's dead. I don't think she's ever coming back after that ridiculous storyline that they cooked up over there.
Well, sometimes background characters or characters that are pretty obscure stay dead, though I think sometimes obscure characters end up resurrected because nobody remembered they were dead.
That's a good point. That's a good point, which is almost kind of like the Sandman character, Diane Belmont. She had been killed off retroactively by Roy Thomas in an issue of All-Star Squadron. And then I think Matt Wagner, when he did Sandman Mystery Theater in the 90s, knew she was supposed to be dead in the present. But they retconned that death away because that series was so good. And when James Robinson used them for a crossover, they kept her alive. And I guess that would have been in the JSA books at the time, too. She didn't die until that JSA series that started in, like, what had that have been? 99, maybe? 98, 99, something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Vaguely. There were a lot of different JSA series and miniseries.
The one that started with written by James Robinson and David Goyer.
I think so. Okay, yeah, because Diane showed up in an issue of Starman
Yeah,
at
exactly.
one point.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to, because originally she had disappeared from in the Golden Age when Simon and Kirby took over and made, the Sandman a yellow and purple tight swashbuckling character instead of the fedora and coat and gas mask. She just disappeared from the strip, and then it was mentioned sometime later she had died, and Roy Thomas wrote a story for how she died in an issue of All-Star Squadron, like 16, 17, 18, something like that. And then that was her original death, and then it got retconned in the 90s after he after Zero Hour, with the with people accepting Sandman Mystery Theater as the canon story, as opposed to a alternate universe story, because it was a Vertigo comic and all that. People just liked it so much, it was so good, they just accepted that. And then James Robinson used her in the Starman series. He ended up using Sandy and made Sandy Diane's nephew. I think he's the first one to suggest that. I could be wrong about that, but I think he's the first one to do that. But yeah, there's just been a lot of changes like that, and that's one of those cases where I think using those retcons about Diane make it a better story and make Wesley happier, like you were saying, and improve the idea, as opposed to detract from it.
I think the worst retcons are not necessarily the ones that cause things to happen to the heroes necessarily, so much as the confusion is where you're they change something, then they change it again, then they change it again. I think probably Hawkman is the poster boy for that.
Yeah, that is true. Hawkman, Legion of Superheroes, Donna
Oh yeah,
Troy.
Legion of Superheroes definitely.
Donna Troy has suffered a lot over the years, to where it almost sort of sidelines the character, to where people don't know what to do with her, because the character's so, let's not just say confusing, let's just say so, there's so many different ideas that it takes a lot of wading through. But certainly Hawkman was fixed by Robert Venditti quite elegantly
Well,
most
until
recently.
someone else comes out along and just want to change that.
Your audio is getting a little
That's
wonky.
yeah, that's the problem with a shared universe that isn't written by any one using one single vision, is that always people are coming in that want to change things to the way that they think would work better. And you see it a lot with villains that reform. And you get a lot of people that like the reformed villain, and then another writer will say, no, this has to be a villain, and they turn them evil again. And you get the villain going back and forth between good and evil and good and evil. And I think Magneto from the X-Men has fallen into that a lot.
I'm familiar with that only because I've heard about it. I've never really been a an X-Men fan, so I can only take somebody's testimony on that. I was thinking
Well,
of like
neither have I, because as I said, confusing continuity is one thing that does bother me a lot. And they basically, it's not that they change retcon a lot, it's just that they keep adding more and more and more, and you've got to know it all to know what's going on.
I've seen people say that about the Legion, because not necessarily because there's back and forth like that, but because there's so many, there's so much that's happened. And then with the Legion, they really do have restarted so many times that you can't tell what's what anymore. I mean, each time you pick up a Legion book, you have to know what version of Legion is this, you know? And I say that as if there's multiple Legion books out there. But if you were somebody that, let's say, had picked up issue 3 or 4 of the most recent Legion series, and you wanted to go back to see what had happened in the past, you'd be totally lost. There's going to be almost no connection whatsoever. And that would go the same between any of the specific eras of the Legion. It'd be very difficult to connect the dots between them without knowing everything.
Oh yeah, well, especially the most recent version, because that was Bendis and he made so many changes. A lot of them just seemed like pointless, and you just go back to the next one as well. The characters have the same names, but none of them look the same. Are these the same people?
Yeah, and even the some of the characterizations were just way off. Like Mon-El was, I don't know, almost unrecognizable. He wasn't so much a he wasn't really none of his story was the same. Trying to make him a descendant of Superman, I didn't think worked for him. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a descendant of Superman. They
Wasn't
have,
that what Laurel Kent's
yeah, but then she got retconned into being a manhunter during Millennium. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah. I've been trying to forget Millennium.
I have too. I sold my copies.
Well, the
That helps.
concept had so much promise. It said, okay, yeah, humanity is going to be the birth species, like the species that gives birth to the next big race of immortals. And what do we get? Well, we get another new lackluster superhero team.
What were they called? The New Guardians? Is that what that
The
was?
New Guardians.
Yeah. I didn't I got the mini series. I got the tie-ins to the issues I was the comics I was reading, which, yeah, for the record, was quite a few at the time, but nothing that spun out of that. I didn't get anything that spun out of that. None of that gave
And it's
any
and
it
it
was
messed with a lot of the hero backstories by pointlessly putting a Manhunter into everybody's origin story.
Yeah, like Lana was a manhunter. Like how did they fix that? Because they couldn't, I don't remember how they fixed that. They just ignore that or
I think they pretty much ignored it till they was it Rebirth that it was one of the minis that basically redefined the John Byrne origin into a closer to the classic version of Superman.
okay. I don't remember. I don't. I just know that's one of those things that, at the time, it was like, how can Lana be a manhunter? How can she? You can't do that to Lana. And at the time, doing that to Laurel Kent, really bothered me because I thought Laurel Kent was a really interesting character, an interesting idea for a character. She is almost, a little brash, kind of like Power Girl, but also a little like I kind of don't care. But at the same time was in the Legion, Academy and all that. I don't know, it just seemed like an interesting idea to have a descendant of Superman be around and explore some of those ideas with how do you handle that kind of legacy and all that. And they were trying, but I guess her fans were few and far between, so that when they made her into a manhunter, it wasn't a big as big a deal as you know, Lana, obviously. Lana was never going to always be a Manhunter. They couldn't wipe her out of, you know, Superman's continuity and change that.
No, but I think they just basically sort of pushed it to the side till the inevitable. I think that's what happens with a lot of inconvenient continuity, is they sort of push it to the side and ignore it till the next reboot comes along and gets rid of it.
Yeah, I'd almost rather them have like an in-story way to fix it as opposed to just sort of ignore it. And, oh, that never happened. I mean, you know, even something like John Kent's aging up, I think it would be better to have like a story that undid it, but not in a way that undid it like, oh, that never happened kind of a thing, but like, you know, I had an idea for like the Legion and the Time Trapper. I had an idea that would fix the Legion and John Kent at the same time, instead of just you know, trying to fix the John Kent thing. Yeah, I think the easiest idea was gonna, you know, he was still on Earth 3, and this was, and John Kent that came back was really, you know, Ultraman's son. That's what I thought was eventually going to be revealed, because that's what would have kind of made sense. This aging up John Kent just didn't make sense to me.
I did suggest that on Twitter, but the writer at the time said, "Nope, that's not it."
Well.
I did on Twitter at one point give my suggestion how DC could get out of it, as I basically told them they were free to use it, and what it is one day, Clark, Lois, and John are sitting at dinner, they're eating, and then there's a knock on the door, and they open the door, and it's 10-year-old John looking very like beaten up and whatever, and he comes in and says, "Why didn't you come for me?"
Ah.
And then it turned, and then the thing is which one's the real John? They both are. And then it turns out that the John that has been in the comics so far is really the John from 7 or so years in the future.
Yeah, a time displaced John. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. My time trapper story with the Legion was similar to that. Had a similar time angle on it, but we were going to fix the Legion too with the turning Bendis's Legion into a legacy Legion.
Oh, well,
That
yeah,
was
the
a that
time
was
trapper is a funny one.
that
Like
was a
he's
hundred years
be
in the future.
I the time trapper is a pretty funny one. I think he's been revealed to be just about everybody in the Legion or supporting characters at this point, hasn't he?
He has had I mean, at one point he was Cosmic Boy. I remember
I
that.
remember that one. That actually was a pretty good story.
It was, and wasn't he Glorith at one point too?
I think so.
And then I'm trying to think. He was never Mon-El, because that's the one where that famous one, that one I'm thinking with Mon-El on the cover, is where Mon-El says, "I don't care if stopping you changes history." I think that's how the Glorith verse ended or started, or one of those. But
It'll
that,
eventually end up being
yeah.
Frody.
I don't know about that. Which one, the first one or the second one?
Either one.
Because one of them is
One of them's
Lightning
Lightning Lad.
Lad.
That would be the first one.
Is the first one Lightning Lad, or is the second one Lightning Lad?
I would think the first one, because he got ended up with his
Oh,
soul
that's right. That's right.
transferred in,
That's
and
right.
then he so Prody supposedly died.
Yeah.
in that, and that's why they have Brody too.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Because Brody One in the retcon became Lightning Lad. That's right. Yeah. And then until I reread the this stuff last year around this time, I was reading a bunch of old Legion stuff, like from just before the Great Darkness Saga, all the way through the Great Darkness Saga, into the all the way up through the 5 years later, SW6 batch, but before it rebooted with Zero Hour. I fell out somewhere around there, but I read every single issue, including like some of the mini series I had, like Legionnaires 3, the Cosmic Boy mini series, those things there. And I'd forgotten that originally Validus is one of the twins that are born to Saturn Girl and Cosmic Boy. And I'd forgotten that in one of those that he had gotten cured in one of them, so he was no longer gonna be Validus. And I couldn't I had forgotten that because I was like, wait a minute, this is it. And do you remember what I'm talking about, or did I skip
Yeah,
over
I
you?
remember that. That was a bit of a shocker, the learning that Validus was one of the twins.
curse, the final curse that Darkseid
Yeah.
put on the Legion. So what other retcons got you bugging? We haven't.
Oh,
Do you want to touch the Alan Scott topic? How are you feeling about that one? Is
I
it work?
don't.
Is it working for you? Is it not working for you? Is it partially working for you?
I guess partially. I could understand if he'd been gayer by and had sort of had to and. Definitely had to stay in the closet, but was sort of in denial to himself. But they seem to be in this new series not having him openly gay, but actually engaging in gay relationships, which sort of I had more of the idea when they did the retcon that he was himself convinced that he wasn't gay and fighting against it.
Yeah. I think.
And it sort of wonders, it makes me wonder exactly what the history is with Jade and Obsidian now.
Well, I think I mentioned to you at some point in the past couple months that I have a pet theory that they're being erased, or at least they're just not going to mention them. And that they are going to be replaced by Ruby and Michael Main.
Well, I know they were being they both appeared in like the Justice League Incarnate Infinite Frontier mini series that were all leading up to the big I forget which that event was.
Dark Crisis. Dark Crisis.
It could be, but essentially, yeah, it was leading into Dark Crisis, but they were sort of hinting because they found a whole lot of JSA characters
Yeah.
that had been missing for a while, and it was sort of implied that yeah, the JSA is coming back with, and these characters will be part of it. And they were in that, but
Well, I mean, they showed up in Infinite Frontier. I know that. And I guess they've had some sporadic appearances here and there, but they haven't been mentioned at all in the current Justice Society series.
no, I don't think that they've made any real significant appearance since just before Dark Crisis.
I think that is an indication that we're going to get that they're going to be erased, and I think they're going to do Alan Scott's entire history redo it, because I don't think you can make a real case for the way he's being portrayed in his miniseries as someone who would get married twice later on to Rose Canton, and which would have been where Jade and Obsidian were conceived.
Well,
Nor
all they would have ha had to do to still keep them in continuity is just have one night stand because they were twins.
No, but I mean, I don't
Yeah.
think he would ever, from the way they're portraying him, I don't think he would ever try to get married at this point to a woman, let alone to her
No,
and
that's why
Molly Maine.
they think he was thinking he should still have been in denial
Yeah, but that's not what
about
they're,
being gay, so
that's
he
not what they're
may have
giving us, though.
he would have thought, okay, yeah, I'm going to get married so I can ha stop having these gay thoughts.
But that's not what they're going with.
Yeah.
That's not what they're showing. I guess,
No, it doesn't seem to be anyways.
I just want them to be real specific with that history, you know? I mean, if you're going to change it and change continuity, okay, but just tell us what it is and don't act like you're going to just beat around the bush instead of, you know, giving it to us. You know, give us what
Yeah.
happened. What happened? Because Molly Maine is part of this this new JSA book, even if it's sort of tangential, because her son is supposed to be this the Harlequin son, Michael Maine character. And so she's somehow in this universe, but is, you know, did she and Alan ever get married? I just don't see all that. I feel like they are going to end up redoing his entire history, as opposed to simply, as you say, he was in denial. He didn't want to admit it. He tried to get married like people do in that situation. But I don't see him marrying Molly as a older man if he knew he was gay the whole time, you know? And even the second time, Mary, even if he was, would he still be in denial after his son had already come out? You know, it
It
just
seemed
seems
pretty,
weird.
yeah, it seemed pretty funny too, because when they first introduced the idea, he seemed to be just coming with the term to terms with it in the modern day. Whereas in the retelling of his origin story, he seems to be more starting to come with to terms with it in the Golden Age.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the whole miniseries is focused on more about him and that than anything to do with the his superheroing. What about the other changes to like the JSA in that series? Have you, I presume you know what I'm talking about, you know, Alan's being blackmailed to be part of the Justice Society by J. Edgar Hoover in the miniseries, which is a stark contrast to the story of the Spear of Destiny and all that. And, you know, Jeremy Adams mentions that in the Jay Garrick series, but it doesn't seem to have the same impact that it that w what we see making Alan be part of the team in the Alan Scott series.
Well, I don't think that they really there's really much in the JSA origin, the classic version anyways, that we really need added to or changed to update it, because it seems to seem to work pretty well as it was, as it had. So I don't think that part's really necessary.
Same. But if I think if they if they're gonna change stuff, we need to have the full story, not just hints and suggestions and you know.
I think they maybe need to sit Mark Waid or somebody like that down and do a new version of History of the DC Universe to give us sort of an idea of what the general, at least what the continuity is generally.
I totally agree, but do you think we're the last two people that want that? I don't think we are, but I feel like that the DC and the writers that are running things at DC aren't really feeling that like we would be. You know, they're more interested, it seems like, in new stories that they can do whatever they want without being connected to having to connect it to the past. But then
Well,
you'll get.
I think they've got a mix. I think they've got some ones that like keeping things working well within a general continuity, and some that, well, let's do whatever we want, and if we can fit them together, that's nice, but if we can't, who cares?
And it's the who cares part that bothers me, I think, more than anything else.
And I think the DC or WB or whoever it is above them just basically says, as long as the money keeps coming in, whatever brings the money in, do that.
But I don't know that, I guess I don't see enough series selling really well that you could
Well, I
even
think
pinpoint
that's
what.
probably okay. As I was saying, I think it's because that maybe no particular thing seems to be bringing in a lot of sales comic-wise is why DC keeps bringing in new writers to try new things. They keep hoping they're going to hit the one new thing that makes everything that's going to hit the jackpot and start selling comics like they used to be sold what when there was a lot less competing entertainment forms out there.
Even if they don't get the same amount of sales they used to, if they get a spike and they get a get some books that do sell more, maybe they'll go towards whatever they're doing there. I think of the Ultimate Spider-Man that just came out last month for Marvel, that you know there seemed to be a lot of interest and excitement about that because it's bringing Peter and Mary Jane back together as a married couple with kids. Even if it's taking place in an alternate universe, it seems to be a storyline people are interested in. At least that is the narrative right now after issue number
And
one.
till the sale, the interest starts to taper off, and they say, okay, what can we do to shake it up
So
and give it a new number one? Well, add it.
I'm curious to see where that goes because if that is a book that stays fairly high in sales after the initial excitement, you know, is that an indicator of what readers really want? Things that sort of tie in more to the continuity that we're used to having as opposed to something completely new and different that people just aren't really digging.
That's why generally Marvel tends to lose me a lot, is they'll introduce a new comic with a new concept that sounds interesting. I'll say, hey, I'll give that a look. I'll like it. I'll start buying it. And then they'll say, okay, sales are starting to taper off. Let's change it all up. And I'll say, well, oh, this isn't interesting anymore.
Yeah, I
As
mean,
whereas I find DC will give things at least a little bit more play before they'll cut a title. They may give it a good few more months at low sales before they cut it off or they do an overhaul to the title.
Although it seems like they're doing more of the Marvel thing now than they would have in the past. I guess thankfully they didn't, let the Rick Grayson thing go on any longer than they did. But when they brought back the Dick Grayson people wanted, the sales were there, you know?
Well, I think DC has found that they maybe don't always remember it, but they found a formula that works a lot in different media and products is sort of like the new Coke paradigm is take away something people love, maybe give them something else for a while. People will complain for a while. You might get a initial spike of interest, but then people start complaining and interest will go down. But then give them the classic back, and everybody just goes wild. And that's exactly what happened with the new 52. Is everybody said, "Well, wow, DC did." Basically rebooted everything, and then the first issue sold great, and some of the titles sold okay. Some of them started petered off, and all. And generally, it got to the point where fans were complaining about pretty much the new 52 in general. And then DC said, "What brought in Rebirth?" and said, "Oh well." We're gonna, and I think they were sort of smart to give a it's like a big taste, one big taste, and then sort of introduce it in dribbles.
The new set or the return stuff.
Yeah, the return. And they did sort of start laying the groundwork for it because, like, some of the series were starting to give us classic DC storyline before they actually did the rebirth, like they did that Teen Titans
Titans Hunt.
mini series that whereas the current comics were telling us that no, the Titans with run by Damian Wayne was the original Teen Titans.
I have to confess, I did not read any of the New 52 Teen Titans stuff. I think I reviewed one issue just as a, I need somebody to cover this week. Okay, I'll do that issue, that kind of thing. But I was not reading it at the time at all. But the return of the classic stuff with Rebirth and that Titans Hunt series certainly got me interested again in the, because like I said, it's the characters underneath the masks. It's not the masks that at least I'm interested in. I mean, you can give me a Batman series, but if it's not Bruce Wayne, or at least a storyline that feels like it's connected to what's gone before, then it's hard to
Yeah, I didn't mind at all when Dick took over as Batman for
Because
a
it,
while
because
because
there was a story, it was a continuity, there was a reason. It wasn't just, we want to have a different person as Batman and let's see if we can make
it was totally different than from a
I am
son
not
of
Batman.
Lucius Fox comes along and decides, well, nobody's seen Bruce Wayne in a while. I'll be Batman.
It has to be
Well,
done
there's
right.
some bad continuity issues with that series too,
Well,
which
just
sort of.
well, they didn't plan out over the past, what, I guess it's almost 15 years since the New 52 started, but the continuity for the New 52 wasn't planned out ahead of time. They were all over the place with that. And ever since then, the continuity is just, you know, they want to start an initiative. And it's, you know, it's kind of funny. It seemed like the 5G initiative that never happened was going to try to give us a continuity, that sort of story you're talking about with a new history of the DC universe. And it was going to try to address a lot of that with that initiative. But that thing just never even happened. I think Future State was the remnants of some of those ideas that had to be
that, and
repackaged.
Then they did what was it? There was the two series Crucible and something else. And basically, if that had been the new 50 or the new DC timeline going on, it would be a royal mess right now. Because it literally was going to be everything happened. Like literally everything happened in the same timeline. Basically, Batman, Bruce Wayne would have started his career in the 30s. But in this DCU, people are extremely long-lived. So basically, he's still in his prime, more or less, in the 2020s. But he's gone through all these phases in his career where he's been like having science fiction adventures, and then he's having grounded Bronze Age adventures. Then he's having real loner dark adventures in the 80s.
You know, it takes a lot, they say, a lot of suspension of disbelief to, you know, read comics and be able to experience that type of entertainment.
And I think that that timeline was stretching it well past the breaking point.
That's where it takes it to a point of where that becomes the story. That is so different from your regular how the world works. That becomes the story, and you can't, it just doesn't, it's no longer grounded in any sense of reality, because that's not how the world works. It's, you know, it's just, it you lose it all. I think I avoided that. I remember hearing about that idea, but I avoided it. Did they make anything of that? Was there a miniseries?
There were a couple miniseries, which I think were sort of the basis of what were going to be these, what was it, year zero special, year one, year two, or no, generation zero, generation one, generation
yeah.
two,
yeah,
up to generation five.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think the what was left of that storyline got worked into this couple of miniseries where they sort of put it off on a Earth to itself somewhere off in the Omniverse, but it wasn't the main DCU anymore. And then they put the sort of some of the ideas for G5 into the Future State.
Yeah. See that's the thing. No, they can't get any, there just seems to be no sort of leadership at the top to make a plan that makes sense and move forward. Everything is just kind of whatever you want to do, which sounds, you know, I think Geoff Johns had the idea for how the Omniverse and Metaverse and all that works, but I think he knows how to use it, but I don't think everybody else knows how to use it and make it work for them. They just, let's just use whatever.
I think wasn't it Snyder and Tynan that put together the sort of, maybe with Johns too, with the Omniverse and the multiverses and all that, And Snyder was mainly doing it in Justice League, but he kept every issue making it more and more and more complex to sort of up the ante every storyline or every issue. And then it sort of got, I think it got a bit too overcomplicated.
My impression of all that was John's returning the JSA and the Legion and all that stuff in Doomsday Clock, and what Scott Snyder was doing leading up to, was it Metal? I guess it was Dark Knight's Metal, whatever that first one
Yeah.
was. I felt like they were competing. I didn't feel like they were working together.
Well,
I
they
felt
were
like
supposed
they
to,
were competing.
from what I understand, they were supposed to dovetail,
And they
but
didn't.
Doomsday Clock got behind. So it basically Snyder start went off and doing his own thing while waiting for, and then what, by the time Doomsday Clock finished, they were nowhere near each other, so
Yeah, they didn't fit together at all. It was almost like two different ideas for, the retcon, reboot, whatever we want to call it, reintroduction of those characters and concepts that it was a talk about a mess. None of it made sense. And that's kind of, I feel like we're still there in that none of it makes sense bit because nobody's gone back and tried to sort it out and pull apart what actually is.
I sort of felt a bit sorry for Tynan because he was the one sort of sometimes co-writing Justice League at the time, and
Yeah.
he was the one trying to translate what Snyder was doing
Right.
into something the readers could follow.
Yeah, yeah, that did not work at all for me. Well, we've been going for a while here.
And I don't think we've really talked maybe that much about Judy and Jay.
No, but that's okay. We got a bunch of stuff on retcons done. I think we talked a fair amount about Judy and Jay, unless you want to briefly go over what do you think about the retcons to the Flash's origin specific, where you're getting this whole bit with Professor Elemental as the I guess the impetus for Jay's hard water accident, which made him the Flash.
Well, it doesn't bother me too much because generally that character, I think, was a pretty incidental character to begin with. He
Oh,
was just sort of
right.
there to serve a function.
You know,
And I do like the idea that each Flash now has had their own dealings with an element based character.
oh, okay. That's neat. Yeah. Professor Elemental, Mr. Element, Mr. Element. What's J Wally's?
I
Or
think
is it the
he just
same
sort of
one?
inherited
Inherited
Barry's
Barry's Dr. Alchemy slash this is Mr. Element, and that is?
something. What isn't he a split personality, or
I don't know what they've
was he
retconned
twins
him.
or split personality or something?
Oh, I'd have to look at that up. I don't remember that now. I don't remember that. What I liked about the way he did the what Adams did with the origin, it felt like he was putting in story between the panels we have from Flash Comics number one for that origin. You know, it's like you can still read that story for Flash Comics, and for Jay, it's the same. From his perspective, everything is the same. You know, his what actually happened to him didn't change. Just what happened in between what happened to him changed. And I felt like the way he did that it makes it work as opposed to trying to rework an origin or a character in its entirety, like Alan. You know, Jay didn't change. That retcon doesn't change Jay, whereas Alan's origin in early days seems to be really significantly changing him.
I see what you're saying there. It's like Jay basically is a pretty good character. He is definitely doesn't need to have any fundamental changes to him. I'm sort of wondering whether or not it was worth making these changes to Alan, because they are changing a lot of who he was
Agreed. Agreed.
to a different character. Though Wesley seems to they're basically at least keeping him the same character he was in Sandman Mystery Theater onwards. I don't know the Golden Age stories well enough to say how true that version was to the Golden Age.
I would say that I've got the Golden Age Sandman archives. They only did one volume, and I reread those recently when I started reading this new miniseries. And for me, the Sandman Mystery Theater version seems to be somewhat different from the Golden Age version, not in the sense that it's wildly different, but it just seems a little more serious and cerebral, whereas the Sandman in the Golden Age is a little more action oriented.
And it did sort of eventually go into a more superhero version too
And
far on, because a lot of these Golden Age characters very quickly became superheroized
As a
versions, like the Crimson Avenger, the same.
yes,
He ended
yeah.
up with like that red costume with the fin on the hat and everything.
Instead of it being like a shadow, knockoff, which is kind of what the Sandman and the original Crimson Avenger look like, they turn into the superhero, that we think of with a bright costume and a full mat and all that. You know what I mean? What really changes though is Diane Belmont, and that in the original Sandman stories, she doesn't know originally that she's the daughter of the district attorney. She's working as a safecracker for a gang because she's been brought up by a thief who taught her how to break into safes, and she doesn't. And there's a quick backstory. It's all in one, 12-page story, but that's how she's introduced. She's not introduced as his friend and all, like in Sandman Mystery Theater. That comes along as part of the series goes along. So that's the change with Diane is much bigger than any change I would say with Wesley. In the Golden Age, there were still mystery stories, but he was a little more action oriented and physically imposing. Whereas, Sandman Mystery Theater, he's drawn fairly pudgy by
He's
guy.
more and he's more cerebral.
And so it's a little more down to earth in that sense with the physical depiction of Sandman Mystery Theater. And I feel like the current miniseries we're getting is drawing a lot on Sandman Mystery Theater, but I feel like it's infusing a little bit of the Golden Age physicality a little bit more than Sandman Mystery Theater did. But it's like blending them really well to where that if you're familiar with either one, they both work, and it's still keeping Diane in there, but she's not quite as front and center. And it's okay because it's supposed to be about Wesley Dodds as the Sandman, not necessarily the couple. But I think if that series were to continue, I feel like, Venditti would explore that idea more, kind of like how, Sierra and Carter as Hawkman and Hawkwoman are linked, sort of inextricably. And we know that Wesley and Diane were together for 80 years or whatever, however many years it would be. I think that would be developed over time, but the changes for the Sandman series are not so great right now. More of the changes happened with Sandman Mystery Theater, and I've been rereading that as well, to put some of these pieces together, because some of it's like, I gotta go back and read that. I gotta see what's going on. So
At
it's
some point, I
been
gotta
enjoyable.
reread that. Not too long ago, I reread The Sandman, which is sort of it's got a little bit of a connection to Sandman Mystery Theater. I've got a long list of things I gotta go back and reread.
I've been doing that.
Plus a list of things I gotta read for the first time too, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There's too many things to read, and that's kind of the situation any reader is stuck with, no matter what they're reading. I still got, a bookshelf in the garage of, science fiction novels I haven't read that I gotta someday get to.
Well, and th then you, then there's I've got movies to watch and video games that I've had sitting waiting to be played, and
There's just not enough time.
not enough time.
Well, any final words on the Flash, Jay Garrick, the miniseries, or the character in general, or any kind of final thoughts to wrap it up, do you think?
Well, one thing I didn't get to mention is I do th still think that Jay has got one of the best superhero costumes that I've ever seen. He's like one of the all-time favorites.
He is it is definitely unique, and I've always liked it. I know some people describe it seemingly as clunky, and how's that hat gonna stay on running so fast and all that. But yeah, no, I've always liked his costume. I've always liked his costume.
I went to Fan Expo a couple of years ago, and I got a picture of a guy dressed up as Jay,
Oh.
and it looked really good on him. It didn't look clunky. It didn't look strange. I suppose it still has the question of if he w really was running super speed, how would he keep the helmet on? But
He need that strap like the old
I
Doughboy helmets
presume
it's
there's
based
some
on.
sort of the strap that's not really visible in the pictures or in the drawings, but that there's something holding it on.
I figured it was some sort of, vibrational thing
Either
that
that or like the speed force
Yeah.
keeps it
Holds like the speed
attached.
force surrounds all of him, so it keeps the helmet on as opposed to letting it fly off, because the speed force is surrounding all of him, including the helmet and his clothes, because it's
I wonder
he's
if nowadays the Wally's taught them all the trick of generating their costume through the Speed Force, whether Jay can manufacture his hat through that and.
I would imagine he'd be more of a traditional guy that would just want to
No, I'm used to doing it this way.
put his pants on one leg at a time, like everybody else.
Meanwhile, Joan's saying, "I'm sick of t sewing these old costumes. Why don't you d use that Speed Force trick?"
Exactly. All right. All right, well, Derek, let's wrap it up. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. It was good to talk to you. Good to talk to you in person for the first time, instead of it always being on Slack for DCN. So, what, you got anything going on that you want to share with people, or tell people where to find you if you're interested in seeing your comments about John Kent's fate on Twitter?
Not much. I'm just mainly on DC Comics news, and occasionally on Dark Knight news, the sister site to DCN, which I believe you occasionally write for them as well.
Occasionally, Steve will give us a call and pull us into service.
But no, I don't generally have anything to push at the moment. No books or speaking engagements or presidential campaigns or anything to push.
All right. Well, Derek, thanks again. I really appreciate it, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay, talk to you later.